We're on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, and we're up to Ahuhu Mavui Akum. So let's see if we can find the place. It's approximately, I would say, two-thirds of the way down. The first word in the line is Hahu. And we're going to count up from the bottom of the Amud approximately 9 lines, maybe 10 lines up. Now, we mentioned before the case of Surah. So now the Gemara is going to give another example of Tikkun Mavui in the city of Surah. Now, we had a machlokas before between Rav and Shmuel about a Mavui Akom. Right, as we said before, it goes like an L-shaped Mavui. And both ends of this Mavui lead into a Rishus HaRab. So you could enter into this Mavui from two different ends of this L, from Rishus HaRab into the Mavui. Rav says that we consider it as one long Mavui that happens to turn, and therefore it has a din of a Mavui Mefulash, and it needs what's called a Tzuras HaPesach. And you need what's called a lechi or a korah at one end, and the Tzuras HaPesach. Now, where is that Tzuras HaPesach going to be put, according to Rav? So here we have a machlokes between Rashi and the Ri, one of the Balei HaTosfos. Rashi holds that the Tzuras HaPesach has to be b'makom akmo miso, which means at that point where it turns towards the left, or right, we'll call it towards the right, towards the left, whichever way you want to say it. Up there you need a Tzuras HaPesach. However, the Ri, and this we had back on Daf Vav, he's of the opinion that according to Rav, you need a Lechi at one end, and you need a Tzuras HaPesach at the other end. Or when you call it the end, you can call it the entrance, whichever word you like better. But in the Akmu Miso, you don't need a tikkun at all. Those were the two opinions of Rav. Now let's get to Shmuel. Shmuel sees this as not one long Mavui, but really this is a combination of two Mavos. Each one is Sasum. And therefore what we need is a Lechi on one entrance and a Lechi on the other entrance. You don't need any Tzuras HaPesach, because Tzuras HaPesach is only a requirement with regard to Mavi Mefulash, and this is called a Mavi Sasum times 2. And that's how Rashi interpreted back on Daf Vav, which was the original sugya of Rav and Shmuel in Mavi Yakom. And then Rashi had quoted one of his elders, one of his Rebbeim, who had a different interpretation, that according to Shmuel, you need a lechi at the point of the akmo miso. In other words, in addition to lechi in the entranceway and the other entranceway, you need a third lechi. That was the moro hazaken of Rashi. So now let's see the story in Surah. Hahu mavui akum Dahava Besura. So you have in Surah a Mavui that has two entranceways, both coming in from Rishus HaRab. So the local people in Surah, what they thought was, we'll put a Lechi at the entranceway to the Mavui that goes into Rishus HaRabim. And at the other entranceway, they didn't do any tikkun at all. So they thought that all you have to do is put up one lechi. So it says the following. Nizkiku b'nei Rosh Ha'amavui shebikshu lahatir schelkom lahaskin lo lechi nosef bakmimuso. What means the following, that those people whose houses or chatzeros, you know, spilled into the Mavui at that point, at one particular entrance, they put up a lechi, and the people who entered into the Mavui from the other entrance way, they didn't have a lechi, so they wanted to add another lechi so that they too would be allowed to use the Mavui. And in the diagram that I have here, it says the following, that the place in which they wanted to put a lechi, again, I'm not going to pick up this book, you know, to show you the picture, but basically, I'm going to try to see if you have an L that's sitting on the longer side. So we'll call that longer side, if you don't mind, we'll call it east to west. And then the shorter side, let's say, goes north-south. So what happened was that when you enter into the Mavui from the east, from the west going east, let's call it that way, then they put up a lechi right there at the entrance. The Bnei HaMavui that were coming in from Rishus HaRabim on the northern side, they wanted to put a lechi b'mokom akmimus, at the point in which you turn towards the left, not at the beginning of the Mavui. So I'm going to read to you the language here. He says, B'nei echad mirashav bikshu l'saken eschelkom b'mavui ulatiro b'tiltul alken eskidu lechi b'rosh ha'mavui aponu l'shusarab. So that's the entranceway going from west to east. So they wanted to put up a lechi, and they did so. As you enter into the Mavui from that Rishus HaRab, Ilu b'nei Rosh HaSheni, but the people who are from the north, Lois Kinu Lechi Berosho, they didn't put a Lechi at the entranceway into that, you know, northern section of the Mavui. The Kaman Shekain, Nizkaku b'nei Rosh HaMavui, Shebikshu lahatir eschelkom lahaskin lo lechi nosaf bakmo miso. Ah. So the Bnei HaMavui from east to west, they needed a second lechi. Right? The people who are going from the north to south, they for whatever reason, they weren't interested in setting up a tikkun for the Mavui. Don't ask me why. So they didn't bother with a lechi. But the people who did want to set up a tikkun Mavui, they needed a second lechi. Like any Mavui akom. So I'm going to assume now that we're going like Shmuel. Again, the Gemara is going to analyze whether we can fit this into Shmuel. And Shmuel said you don't need a Tzuras HaPesach, but you do need a Lechi on both sides. Now, the Bnei Mavui, you're coming in from the, as we call it, the, you know, the southeast, they don't have a way of putting up a Lechi on the other end, the northern end, on top. That's none of their business. But they want to put a lechi at the end of their Mavui before you turn to the left. That's called B'makom Akmo Miso. So what do they do? Karuch Budya. Instead of putting up a solid wooden lechi, they used a budya. Budya in Hebrew is called a machzelet, a mat. You may remember that we had a similar concept In the previous sugi about Maremar, you remember at the end of each Mavui, he put up those mats, you know, between the sea and the end of the Mavui. So they wanted to wrap a mat all around, and stand it up in a vertical position. And it's kind of like a roll, if you know what I mean. In Hebrew, it's called a galil. Osivu bei biakmumise. And they stood it up at the point, at the end of that section of the Mavui, going east to west to east, before you turn left. And they thought that that would function as a proper lechi. And that would be a tikkun for their mavui. So you'll see in this diagram that there are houses that spill into that part of the mavui that goes, as we said, from west to east. And they thought that they're in good shape over here. Omer Rav Chisda, ha lo kira v'lo kishmuel. Their suggestion fulfills neither the requirements of Rav nor of Shmuel, as far as the Mavayakum is concerned. Why? L'Rav diomer toroso kimefulosh. Rav sees a Mavayakum as if it's open on both ends to Rishus HaRabim. Is then Tzuras HaPesach boy. They certainly need a Tzuras HaPesach b'makom akmomiso. And even according to Shmuel, they're still in trouble. Why? Diomer toroso sasum, which means that it's a Mavui Sasum according to Shmuel, and all you need is two lechis on the two ends. So you don't need any sort of a mat, you know, this vertical rolled up mat. You don't need it, but Makamak Mimisu, you need it at the two ends or entranceways into the Mavui. And not only that, Hani Mili Lechi Mealia. Aval Hai. He says the following, that even according to Shmuel, that it suffices with a second lechi. You didn't put up a second lechi. Why? Because this is not a lechi ma'aliyah. This is not a healthy lechi. Why? Aval hai cave under noshiv bezeka, if the wind would blow, shadile, it could push it over. In other words, a lechi has to be firm on the ground. The wind will not topple it. But here, this mat, you know, I'm thinking out loud, we use machtzalos, not everybody relies on this, for our schach. And if it's a small machtzalos, then you stand it up, it's gonna eventually fall. It's very, because it's made of thin bamboo, you know, sticks. Is lav klumu, this is not called a lechi. Now, what I'm a little bit confused about, to be honest with you, is would the second lechi, had it been a proper lechi, would that be fine? Here he says, Dailo basia shtei lechayayim, according to Shmuel, you need a lechi at the beginning, a lechi at the end. V'yena machtzeles, shenitno bak memiso, mo'ila kelechi. So if I understand correctly, had this second lechi, which was placed b'mokom akmomiso, been a real healthy, solid lechi, then everything would have been fine. This despite the fact that there's no lechi in the other entrance coming from the north to entering towards the south. Because now, according to Shmuel, we view each mavi as a separate entity. That's in fact why Shmuel says you don't need a Tzuras HaPesach, it's a Mavui Sasum. So we have two Mavos Stumim. And if the other guys are not interested in setting up a Lechi, but we are interested in a Lechi, we'll put the Lechi at the end of our Mavui. B'makom akmimuso. But the only thing is, instead of putting up a Lechi, they put up a Budya. And a Budya is not a Lechi Ma'alya. Oh, but ve'i noetz be sichta ve'chabre, if they would take a solid peg, a piece of wood, and they would dig it into this machzeles. Again, he doesn't go into details how they would do this, but they would basically attach this mat to the ground in a way that it would be permanently attached to the ground, and it would not be blown over by the wind, huff and puff. Is then that would make it into a bona fide lechi, a valid and reliable lechi, and therefore they would be allowed to be metaltel the mavui, again only according to Shmuel, not according to Rav, because Rav would require a tzuras ha-pesa. Gufa. Now we get back to Rav's statement on Daf Zayin, which had to do with a mavui that spills into a chatzer. Om Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Marav, this we had already earlier, mavui shenifratz bimlo lachatzer. So you have a mavui that spills into a chatzer, and the end of this mavui, that kosel, that would separate the mavui from the chatzer, was completely broken down, and is nothing that separates the mavui from the chatzer. It now flows right into the chatzer. Not only that, v'nifritz ha-chatzer kenegdo. And even the chatzer itself has an opening in its wall towards Rishus HaRabim. And Rav said, chatzer muteres, but mavui asur. In other words, despite the fact that there is a... I'm talking now about the chatzer. Despite the fact that there is, number one, a pirtza from the chatzah leading into Rishus HaRabim. Number two, a pirtza from the chatzah on the other side leading into a mavui. Since both of these pirtzos are less than 10 amos, and there's something left, what we call, you remember the word shirayim, you know, a vestige of these mechitzos on both ends, meaning on the end of the chatzer that turns towards Yerushalayim, spills towards the Rishus HaRabim, there is still a wall to your right, a wall to your left, and so too on the other side, the other end of the chatzer that used to be cut off from the mavui with a kosel, and even after the pirtza broke through that kosa that separated the mavui and the chatzah, nevertheless there's still shirayim on both sides, so you still have a mechitza, so the chatzah is now still surrounded by four mechitzos, and therefore as long as this is not a pirtza, meaning it's less than Eser Amos, it's only a Pesach, and there are shirayim left to the mechitzos, and therefore the mechitzos are valid, and therefore there's a Shem Pesach on these two openings, not a Shem Pirtza, and you could continue carrying in the Chatzar, or from the Chatzar to the Bais, to the Chatzar, etc. Now, you might ask, but what about the Bnei Mavui? Right, the Bnei Mavui now, because of this Pirtza, have access to the Chatzar, and now the Bnei Chatzar would have to invite the Bnei Ha mavui to create one unified eruv. So the answer is no, because since there was a kosel before, and that prevented the bnei ha mavui from entering into the chatzer. Therefore, the bnei ha mavui have no control, so to speak, to generate any Isur on the Bnei HaChatzer. So the Chatzer remains a separate entity. However, let's go to the second point. V'mavui Asur. But the members of the Mavui are not allowed to use the Mavui. Why? Because the Bnei HaChatzer, in other words, let's say it the other way around. Since the Mavui is now parutz, completely parutz, from the perspective of the Mavui, into the chatzer, they need an eruv together with the bnei chatzer. That's the sheet of Ra. So the Gemara asks the following question: Amale Rabba Bar Ula Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, Rebbe, Lo Mishnah Seinu Izu. I don't need Rav to teach me these halachas because they're explicit in a Mishnah later on in Daf Tzadi Beis. Chatzer Ktana Shenifritzo L'Gdola G'dola Muteres Ktana Asura Mipneshi Kepischa Shel G'dola. So imagine you've got houses on one extreme and houses on the other extreme, and all these houses spill in to Chatzeros respectively. One chatzer is smaller than the other chatzer. Let's assume that the two chatzeros, one for the houses on the right and the other for the houses on the left, were separated by a wall. Now the wall falls down. So now there's no separation between these two chatzeros. It's really one open area. However, the Mishnah says the following. There's no mechitza left between the chatzah ketana and the chatzah gedola. Correct? It's completely parutz. Gedola muteres. So he wants to take his utensil and carry it from the bayis into the chatzah. He's allowed to do that if he's in the gedola. Now again, that means that the members of the Chatzer HaGdola did an Erev Chatzeros. Fine. And that Erev Chatzeros is still valid. And despite the fact that the Chatzer HaGdola now is connected, is open to the Chatzer Ktana, the Erev is still, shall we say, effective. And we're going to view the open area between the Chatzer HaGdola and the Chatzer Ktana as a Pesach. Which means again that we're going to have to guarantee that it's less than 10 amos wide. I don't see anyone saying that, but that's what I think is going on. So the width of the Chatzer Ktana is less than 10 amos, such that when the wall falls down, the relationship now between the gedola going into the ketana is like you're going into a Pesach. You're not going into it's another way of getting into the chatzer. However, the Mishnah says ketana asura. So let's say in the houses on the right side that spill into the ketana, they cannot carry into the chatzer because the ketana now is completely open into the chatzer gedola. Mipnei shehi kepischa shel gedola. In other words, we view the chatzer ketana as if it is, it's just simply a way of getting into the Chatzer Gedola. Why? Because what happens is, as a result of the Piritza, when a Kosel breaks down, you no longer have any Mechitza left to separate the Ketana from the Gedola. He says, Me'achar shemitzad ha-chotzer ketana ein klal dofen ha-chotzeitz beino levein ha-chotzer gedola, harei prutza b'melua l'chotzer b'melua l'chotzer gedola. It's completely open into the larger chotzer. And he writes, Ukir shusam shel b'nei ha-gedola. And they are now, so to speak, in the turf, or the, you know, the territory of the Bnei Agola. B'nech Sheves Kipesach shel achotzer hagdola, the area of the chotzer ktana is now just an entranceway into the gedola. V'nigrar b'dinei achreha, and all its laws will now depend upon the gedola. Lachain chayevesi li are la'arev im hagdola. The only way that you could permit carrying from the homes into the chotzer ktana is if they join up with an eruv with the bnei chotzer gdola, kol shelo irva asur v'tiltul, and that chotzer ktana is prohibited from carrying without an eruv. And now the Gemara wants to suggest that's the kasha of Rabba Bar Ula to his Rebbe Rabbi Bibi. Why did I need Rav when it's explicit in the Mishnah? We learn from this Mishnah the din of Rav. Rav said that if you have a mavui that is completely open into a chotzer, is then the bnei mavui are not allowed to carry in that mavui without an eruv with the bnei achotzer. And that's something I could derive from our Mishnah, because we just learned the Mishnah in Chotzer Ktana, which is completely prutza into the Chotzer Gedola. The Chotzer Ktana now does not stand on its own. It has nothing left to its original mechitza that's separated from the Chotzer Gedola. It's now part, it's swallowed up, so to speak, by the Chotzer Gedola, and it needs an eruv with the Chotzer Gedola. And that's exactly what Rav says in the case of a mavui that opens up totally into a chotzer. And Rav says that the mavui is asur. And the mavui, which is parutz into the chotzer, is like the chotzer ktana, which is prutza into the chotzer gedola. And therefore it's asur. As far as the chotzer is concerned, so you may recall that when we discussed Rav, we mentioned that although from the perspective of the Mavui, there's nothing left to the Kosel, that Mechitz is completely gone, and so the Mavui completely spills into the Chatzer, but from the perspective of the Chatzer, there are still parts to that Mechitza, to that Dofen, on the right side and the left side. And therefore the Chatzer remains a separate entity that is surrounded by Mechitzas. And here too, in the Mishnah that we saw, that the Chotzer Ktana is Nifritza Ligdola, the original Kosel that separated the Gdola from the Ktana still stands. What do I mean it still stands? In the wider area that of the Chotzer Gdola that goes beyond the Chotzer Ktana, there's still leftover walls that go in. Omale, so Rabbi says to Rabba that Rav is adding a very important chiddush that we could not derive from the Mishnah. And what is that? That even though nifratz ha-chotzer mishnei tzadeha l'rshus ha-rabim ulamavui hi muteres. Right. In other words, let's go back to Rav's scenario. In Rav's scenario, the, let's say on the southern side, right, the moving from the Mavui into the Chotzer, the wall between that separated the Mavui from the Chotzer is gone. But not only that, the Chotzer opens up into Rishus HaRabim because there was a pirtza in the Kosel of the Chotzer that separated the Chotzer from the Rishus HaRabim. That's not true in the Mishnah. That's only true in Rav's case. Imi Hasim, if I only had the Mishnah, Hava, I mean, I would have thought, Hani Mili, when are you allowed to carry from the bottom into the Gedola or inside the Gedola? That's because there are Shirayim of the Mechitz on both sides. That's only Hecha de Loka Darsi Be Rabin. where there's no access from the Bnei Rishus HaRabim into the Chatzer. Because the opening from the Rabim was only into the Chatzer Ketana. Aval Hecha de Kodarsi Be Rabim. In a case where the Rabim have rights to, or an entryway into this Chatzer Gedola, like for example in the case of Rav, where the Chatzer opened up from the other side into the Shusar Rabim, from one side it opened up into the Mavui, and from the other side into the Shusar Rabim. So you have Rabim, Mahalchim, now we have the crowds of people that are walking from Rosh Hashanah through the Chatzer. Is Eima Filu Chatzer Nami? Maybe in such a case, we would have to prohibit the Bnei Chatzer from carrying in the Chatzer. Because again, what's unique about Chatzer that we allow all the Bnei Chatzer to gather together and unify to form one entity through an Eruv? That's because the Chatzer is like a private enclosed area. And the Rabim don't enter into the Chatzer. But if the Rabim enter into the Chatzer, then maybe the Chatzer should be Asura. Which, if I understand correctly, without Rav, we would have suggested or insisted that they close up that kosel to make sure that the rabbim don't go into the chatzer. Now the Gemara asks another kasha. Hanami Tanina. Even that chiddush I have in a Mishnah. And this is a Mishnah in Taras. Now let's just offer a little bit of an introduction. We have a concept called Safek Tumah. We don't know where the Sheretz went in, it didn't go in, where there was a mess there. So we have a loch of Safek Tumah b'shus harabim Sfeik Otar. If the Safek emerges in a public area, then the halacha is that it's tar, it remains pure. So now the Mishnah wants to know, chatzer, shall rabim nichnasim la bizu viyotzim bizu? As far as Rishus HaRabim is concerned, if people use that area, they walk in that area, that itself makes it into Rishus HaRabim. So here you have a chatzer which can be entered into by the Bnei Rishus HaRabim on one side, and they have an exit on the other side. Is that chatzer has the status of Rishus HaRabim Lutumah, and therefore we can apply the principle of Safek Tumah Tar. That's the principle of Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim, which is derived from the Parsha of Sota. Oh yeah, he mentions it here in a note. So again, what determines Rishus HaRabim as far as Tumah is concerned for Safek Tumah Tar? It doesn't matter about the Mechitzos. It matters about Rabim Mitzuyim Sham. Rabim Nichnasim V'yotzim Sham. That makes it into a public area as far as Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, Rishus HaYochid L'Shabbos. We still have valid Mechitzos. And even though, again, the Mechitza has a Pirtza, but that Pirtza is only a Pesach. So we have four mechitzos, and it's considered Rishus HaYochid. And this is a case where the rabbi can enter from one side of the chatzer and exit from the other side of the chatzer, which is exactly the case of Rav. And the Mishnah says explicitly that as far as Shabbos is concerned, it retains the status of Rishus HaYochid, which means you're allowed to carry in this chatzer. So what did Rav add that I didn't know in the Mishnah? And I think the implicit question is that Rav should have taught us the Mishnah. Instead, he made it like as if he came up with his own statement. So the Gemara answers, and now we're on the bottom of Daf Ches, that Chesamid Aleph, that the Gemara says that Rav is adding a chidush that we could not derive from the Mishnah. And that is when you have a chotzer that has a pirtza into Rishus HaRabim and into a mavui, and that those two pirtzos are aligned, we call that an arrow could shoot it straight ahead. So, imihasim, if I only had the Mishnah, havamina, I would have said, hani mili, when does the Mishnah attribute and define this chotzer as a Rishus HaYachid? Despite the fact that the Rabbim are going in and out, that's because it's Zeh Shalom Keneged Zeh. When they go into the Chatzer, they don't come out on the same line. They have to go through a different pathway in order to get out of the Chatzer into the next Rishus HaRabbim. Avol here on Chesamid Beis, Zeh Keneged Zeh, if there's a straight line from one Rishus HaRabbim to the other Rishus HaRabbim through the Chatzer, is Ema low? I might think in that case the Mishnah would say it's not a Rishus HaYachid as far as Shabbos is concerned. If I need Rav to teach me that even in this case the Chatzer is Muteres. And that's what Rav meant when he said Nifritza Chatzer Kenegdo. Kenegdo means B'mechuvot. It's a straight line from one Pirtza to the other Pirtza, or one Pesach to the other Pesach. So Gemara is not happy with this. Why? Ula Rabba di Omar. Rabba back on Daf Chesamid Aleph with regard to a Mavui Mefulosh. Derech Rechava, when there are Psachim on two different parts of this Rechava, and he said that if it was Zeh Keneged Zeh, it's Asur. That if the opening from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rechava, well, let's say the other way around, Rishus HaRabim into the Mavui and the Mavui into the Rechava, if there's a straight line through the Chatzer, I should say through the Rechava to be more precise, and you go out into Rishus HaRav on the other side, is Rabba said it's Asur. That's already a Mavui Mefulash. Is then HaDarav B'mai Muki La. How will Rabba understand the din of Rav that a Mavui Shenifrats Lechatzer Shekinegdo? Is Rav says that the Mavui is Mutter. Again, conditional on the fact that there's an Erev between the Bnei HaMavui and the Bnei HaChatzer. So again, the Mavui itself is Asur, but with an Erev it becomes Mutter, according to Rav. Now, according to Rabbah, that cannot be a case of Zeh Keneged Zeh, because Zeh Keneged Zeh makes the Mavui into a Mavui Mefulash. So we have no choice but Bezeh Shalom Keneged Zeh. We're going to have to say, according to Rabbah, that Rav was talking about a case of a Mavui Shenifratz L'Chatzer and it's Shalom Keneged Zeh. Right? So that the Mavui has an opening into the Chatzer, but the opening from the Chatzer to Rishus HaRabim is on the left side or on the right side. So it means that according to Rabbah, Rav never even discussed the case where the two psachim of the Chatzer going from the Rishus HaRabim or into the Rishus HaRabim are Mechuvanim Zeh Keneged Zeh. So we really don't know, in effect, what Rav would say about the case of a Chatzer that has a Pesach entering into the Chatzer from Rishus HaRabim that ends in a Pesach on the other side of the Chatzer into Rishus HaRabim. We don't know. So again, if we don't know, then you can't tell me that Rav's Chiddush here was because there are two Psachim and two Pirtzes that are Mechuvan and Zeh Zeh, that it's Mutter in the Chatzer. So again, now we come back to our original question. If that's not the Chiddush of Rav, then what is the Chiddush of Rav? Tarti Lamali. Why does Rav have to repeat the heter in the chatzer, which we could derive from the Mishnah, that the Mishnah establishes that a chatzer that has rabim nichnasim la and yotzim bizu, right? That was the case of the Mishnah in Taros. It has a din as far as Shabbos is concerned of a rishus hayachid. Why? Because the two psachim are less than 10 amos, and therefore they're not considered pirtzos, and the mechitza is still there, and it's four mechitzos. If it's four mechitzos, as far as Shabbos, it's a rishus hayachid. Rav didn't add anything beyond the Mishnah. Because we wanted to suggest that Rav added beyond the Mishnah, what if the shnei psachim of the chatzah are mechuvanim zelizeh? But that's impossible, because Rav says in such a case, the chatzah would be awesome. It's a mavui mefulash. So once again, what was Rav's chiddush? So the Gemara answers that in the case of a chatzah shelo keneged zeh, right, the pirtzas are zeh shelo keneged zeh, it's considered a rishus hayachid, and that's a chiddush that we couldn't have derived from the Mishnah in Taros. Why? Because he may hasam, if we only had the Mishnah in Taros, havamina, I would have said hani mili lizrok, havalataltil emalo kamash malon. So we have this Mishnah in Taros that says that this chatzer is considered a rishus hayochid le'inyan Shabbos. The Mishnah in Taros. Well, you know what? The Mishnah in Taros is telling us that if a man is standing in a rishus harabim and he throws an object that lands in the chatzer, he's chayav. Why? Because the chatzer has four mechitzos. And if it has four mechitzos, it's called the rishus hayochid. So that's called lechumra. That's what the Mishnah wants to tell you, that le'inyan Shabbos, the four mechitzos are valid, even though the fact that the rabbim go in from this and exit from that entrance. And therefore, if somebody throws an object from standing in Rishus HaRabim and he throws it into the chatzer, he's going to be chayav. But the Mishnah doesn't say a word about whether you're allowed to carry inside the chatzer. And we could have argued that we're not going to allow you to carry inside the chatzer insofar as it's makom shedar subei rabim. You know, the b'nei rishus rabim enter into the chatzer from one entrance and they go out from another entrance. We're not going to allow you to carry in the chatzer. And that's called, I think we've mentioned this phrase in the past, rabim bokimbo. And in this case it's mitzad l'tzad, that the people break in, so to speak, into the chatzer in order to go out from the other entrance, or the other exit, if you want to call it that, into Rishus HaRab. Now, I'm a little bit confused about one point. In this Hava Mina, that the Mishnah is only Lechumra to tell you that if someone's standing in Rishus HaRab and it lands in the chatzer, he's chayav chatos, he violates a meleches zrika, or hotzah. Actually, in this case, technically, it would be called hachnasa, okay. But it could go the other way around if he's standing in the chatzer and he throws it in. Is what would be the havamin, I mean, as far as tiltal is concerned, would you be able to be matir it with, how would you be matir the chatzer, according to this havamin? I mean? Just let me think for a second. Ema lo. So what would be in the Hava Mina? Just curious about that. Second, let me just go back for a second. Aval ze keneged ze. Ema lo. Not sure what exactly the Hava Mina would be. Let's just think. If it's Rabin Bokimbo, so we're not going to allow Tiltul. And I think I understand that to mean that even if he made an Erev Chatzeros, which in any event he has to make, every Chatzah requires an Erev Chatzeros to be Matid Tiltul, but that wouldn't be sufficient. I'm not sure. Is this some sort of new takana, you know, the new enactment that the Chachomim say that an Erev Chatzeros is not valid to be Matir Tiltul in a chutzah that opens up on both sides into Rosh Hashanah? I understand. Then what you would need in this Havamina is a Tzuras HaPesach. Let me just think about that. So you've got Rosh Hashanah entering to the Mavui, and the Rabbim now go through the Mavui into the Chatzer, and they come out at the other end. So where would you put the Tzuras HaPesach in that case? I don't know, maybe a Tzuras HaPesach would be... There are many possibilities here. Either there'd be a specific place where you'd have to put the Tzuras HaPesach, or maybe you have a choice, or maybe you'd require Tzuras HaPesach on both openings, both entranceways. I don't know. He doesn't address this. Okay. So we're up to Itmar now. Let's see if we all have the place here. Itmar. We are five lines down from the top of Ches Amid Beis. Mavui Ha'asui kinadol. So nadol is a kind of a creeping being. What do we call it when I was a kid? It's like a hundred... Centipede. What's it called?
Centipede.
Centipede. Okay, excellent. Centipede. Right. And centipede means 100 legs, am I right?
Yeah,
that's what I remember. Okay, I'm not exactly sure why the Gemara calls this Mavui a centipede. It's based on a pasuk in Vayikra Yudalf. It says, Ad kol mar beraglayim. A centipede is called a mar beraglayim in the Torah. And in Torah's Kohanim, it says, Mar beraglayim ze nadol. And basically what we're looking at here is a mavui. Oh, I shouldn't say a mavui, I should say a series of small mavos that come, that are fed by Rosh Hashanah. So you have Rosh Hashanah going into many, many different mavos. Actually, we had something similar back in the discussion about Surah, correct? Because in Surah we had many, many mavos that ended up in the sea. Here we're not talking about ending up in the sea, but so this mavui, just 1 second, mavui zeh pasuch l'shesarab mavos ketanim yotzim lo mitzido ha'echad the Roshayim Psuchos Sarab Macheros Acheres. Who Atzmon is Akim Besofa Mufush Sarabim Acheres Beikum Kein Resh. So, based on Rashi, this case of a Moviosu Kinadol is quite sophisticated, shall we say. Because what you have is a gigantic Rosh Hashanah, and you enter into many different mavos. You have a whole series of mavos that you enter into from this Rosh Hashanah. That's on one side. And where do you end on the other side? I think in a Rosh Hashanah. It's not so clear from this. Just 1 second. Let me just read this one more time, because he has a diagram here. He says the following. Mavui zeh, ha-pasuch l'shesarabim.
I see. So what you have here is, let's call it on the eastern side, on the right side, you have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin that enters into a Mavui, quite a significant Mavui. And this Mavui now splits off into many, on the right side, let's call it, going north, it splits off into many different smaller Mavos. Each one of those Mavos spills into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So if you look at, if you analyze each Mavui unto itself, it's a little bit similar to a Mavui Akum, because you go into the Mavui from Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, and you end up in another Mavui that's going in a different direction, that again ends in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Now this Rosh Hashanah Rabbin itself, I'm sorry, this Mavui itself, sort of, you know, at the end of this Mavui, after passing all the different Mavos on its right side, one after the other, it spills into a right turn, you know, going north into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So the question is, what kind of tikkun does this Mavui need? And not only that, what about the small Mavos, all of which spill into this Mavui? So he says, Ketzad yitaknu Mavui zeh u'mavos ktanim elu hamefuloshim l'rishus harabim be'ikum. Okay, that sounds a little bit like Rav, if you know what I mean. So you enter in from the Shasram into this gigantic Mavui, and then you turn towards the smaller alleyways, and from there you go out to a different Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Omar Abaye, Oset Tsuras HaPesach LeGadol. Right, so he needs a Tsuras HaPesach as he enters from the Shasram Rabbin into this very large Mavui. Vahanach Kulu, and with regard to the smaller Mavos that open up into or spill into this Mavui, this larger Mavui, Mavui Gadol, Mishteru Bilechi Vikora. So in other words, when you come from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin into any one of those small Mavos, immediately you see a lechi or a korah on top. And when you finally get into the Mavui Gadol on the other side, that Mavui Gadol was permitted based on a Tzuras HaPesach. So that's what it says in Abaye. Now, I'm just trying to understand the logic here, the Gemara. It seems to me, I could be way off here, that Abaye is understanding here that we have, let's see, it sounds a lot like Rav. Let me just see, is it the same as Rav or not? You've got a lechi, and then you have a Tzuras HaPesach. One second. Is it a Mavui Mefulosh? Let's call it a Mavui Mefulosh, according to Rav. And therefore you need a Tzuras, yeah. But the only problem is that Rav required a Tzuras HaPesach B'Mokom HaKmimus. So I don't know why that requirement here is dropped. That I can't understand. So Omar Abaye Oset Tzuras HaPesach LaGadol Barosh HaPasuach Rosh Hashanah Rabbin Vanakulu Mishteru Bilechi VeKora Beroshom haponel Rishus Aram Acheres. Just 1 second. So let's say I'm in Rishus Aravim. I go down a Mavui, and I have a Lechi there. Now I go down, I'm back in Rishus Aravim, I go down the second Mavui, so I have a Lechi there. I go down the third Mavui, I have a Lechi there. And then there's another Mavui, and that requires its own Lechi. So in the picture that I have here in front of me, he's got four different, sections of homes and four different mevos. And therefore, he's going to need four different lechis when he enters into any one of those mevos from the Rishus HaRab. So the first thing he has is a lechi. Omalei Rava. Rava is not happy. Why? We have a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel regarding a Mavu Yakom, where both entrances are enter into Rishus HaRabim. Rav calls it a Mavi Mefulash, and therefore he needs a Lechi and a Lechi on both ends, and a Tzuris HaPesach and the Mokum HaKmimus. Again, that's Rashi Shita. And now Shmuel says it's a Mavui Sasum, and he needs a Lechi on one on each end, one on each entranceway into the Mavui. So we don't need an additional Tikkun. Keman, your requirement, by whose sheet are you following? Kishmuel, the Omar Toroso Kisosum. Let's just think about that. If we were going according to Rav, then Rav would require a Tzuras HaPesach b'mokom HaKmimus. Yeah, but Shmuel wouldn't require a Tzuras HaPesach at all. You know, according to Rav, Abai is problematic because of the location of the Tzuras HaPesach, which I don't know how that works out according to the Ri. The Ri learned in Rav that you need a Tzuras HaPesach on the other end. Oh, I see, because each Mavui... No, I don't understand. According to the Ri, I'm not sure why this is problematic. But let's go according to Rashi. According to Rashi, we have a serious problem here because the Tzuras HaPesach should not be the entrance from the Rishus HaRab into this very large Mavui. It should be at the end of each one of the small Mivos. And according to Shmuel, I would only need a Lechi at the beginning and another Lechi at the end of the Mavui. We don't even need a Tzuras HaPesach. Is Lomali Tzuras HaPesach? So that's question number one. Basically, Abaye doesn't seem to work out neither according to Rav nor according to Shmuel. The Od, and furthermore, how could you be making like Shmuel and therefore you drop the requirement of Tzuras HaPesach b'mokom HaKmimus ha ha hu mavui okom tahavi bin ardoi v'choshu lekid Rav? So we had a story of a mavui okom in the city of Nardoi, and that was the local city of Shmuel. And nevertheless, they were machmir like Rav, who holds that a Mavi Akum is a Mavi Mefulash, and it requires the Tzuras HaPesach. So if in the city of Shmuel they were concerned about fulfilling the requirement of Rav, then for sure you Abai should have to be Choshesh for Rav, and you could need a Tikkun of a Tzuras HaPesach but Mokom HaKmimus. Elamar Rava. Rava has a different ruling for this case of a Mavui Ha'asui Kinadol. And he says, Osa Tzuras HaPesach LeKulhu. So I think he's following Rav, because in Nardoi they followed Rav. So here also, in... Where did this take place? We don't know where this took place, but in any event, we would have to follow the Chumra of Rav. So we needed Tzuras HaPesach for each one of these small mevos, because each one is a mavui akum, and at the Bokum HaKmimus, we need a Tzuras HaPesach. Lahai Gisa ve'idach Gisa. In other words, Hai Gisa is the point in which the small Mavui connects to the larger Mavui. And the Hai Idach Gisa is the point in which connects the Mavui to Rishus HaRam on the entranceway coming from the north down south. No, that doesn't make any sense. Just one second. Lahai Gisa, at the point of Akmimus, where the small Mavi turns into the larger Mavi, that's where we need a Tzuras HaPesach. And that's true for each one of these Mavos. The Idach Gisa, Mishtrei Belechi Vekora. Oh, very good. So the other end, which where you, as we said before, you're coming south from the northern section into entering into this Mavi, that requires a Lechi or a Kora. Now, what about the Mavui Gadol? The Mavui Gadol is also a Mavui Akum. So you'll need a Lechi entering into the Mavui from Rishus HaRav, and then you'll need a Tzuras HaPesach B'Mokum HaKmimus when that Mavui turns towards the right, turns the north, to go on into the other Rishus HaRav. Okay then, so we're up to Omer Rav Kahana. Let's see if we can make a note of it on Daf Ches Amid Beis. All right then.